You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Nine Finger Chronicles Hunting Podcast brought to you by Exodus Trail Cameras. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and on this podcast, you will find tons of relevant information that will help you become more successful in the field. You'll hear product information directly from the manufacturer and success stories from guys and gals just like you. Sit back, relax, and pour a stiff drink. This episode of the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast starts right now. All right, here we go again. Welcome back to the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast brought to you by Exodus Trail Cameras. Today, we have another really good hunter profile, big buck profile, BS session podcast, you know. I love stories like this because sometimes killing a really good deer is just you just do things right. You pick a spot on a map, you go there, you set up, and you kill a deer. Sometimes it works like that, sometimes it doesn't, and this is a story of it working exactly like that. Today we're talking with Zach Hunt out of Indiana, and he shares with us the story of his 2018 archery buck, and he also talks a little bit about the terrain that this buck lived in, public ground he hunts, private ground he hunts. We BS up front a little bit about that, and then we get into the story towards the end about him going in, check this, 5.2 miles, I think it was, to get this buck. And that still blows my mind, walking in 5.3 miles in to get a deer. And he ended up getting it done, and that's today's story. Now, before we get into today's podcast, we got to do a commercial, right? And that commercial is Deer Lab, all right? Deer Lab. Now, for most of you, right, deer, I don't know if you guys use trail cameras or how much you use trail cameras. I'm a trail cam freak, right? And I collect a lot of data throughout the years about where deer travel, how they travel. And before Deer Lab, I was like going into Wonderground, that's a weather site, and collecting all this data manually. Now all I have to do is take those same trail camera pictures and upload them into Deer Lab, and Deer Lab lets me, or automatically calculates wind direction, calculates moon phase, temperature, a whole bunch of different things, right? The date is pulled in, and you can sort by deer. You can create profiles for, let's say, a deer that you have 3 or 4 years of trail camera pictures of, and you can take that information and you can use it to forecast deer movement for the next year, right? So let's say you have a 2-year-old that showed up on trail camera in a specific pinch point, and then he was there the next year. And then what you can do is you take that data and then you look forward to when those, I guess, weather systems, when those scenarios all kind of work. Let's say if this buck came November 6th one year through this pinch point, and then the next year he came November 8th, right? And it was on northwest winds. So I would say I would start hunting that pinch point the first week in November, coming up on a northwest wind, and just waiting, making sure my access was route, and waiting for this buck to come through. Because if he does it 2 times, there's a good chance he does it 3. So if you haven't already, go to deerlab.com and you can go /9fingers. That's the number 9 followed by the word fingers. Sign up and you'll get a free 30-day trial period. So it's just really good. Take all your trail cam pics, upload them, and go from there. So there's the commercial. Now let's get into today's, I guess, Big Buck Profile podcast with Zach Hunt. Mr. Zach Hunt. How are you, man?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Dan. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. I'm finally glad that the sun is shining in the Midwest.
It's definitely been a wet year so far, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys got high rivers where you're at?
They're not too bad right now, but they were up about a month or so ago.
Yeah, Western Iowa is getting slammed. The Mississippi River sounds like it's going to be high all year. We got the fields are wet here in Iowa. It just seems like the farmers are going to, just like most years these days, it seems like the farmers are going to have trouble getting crops in.
Yeah, I got a buddy who has some property, and they didn't get the crops out till it got really, really cold.
Yeah.
In January?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of things today, Zach. We're going to talk about where you hunt, how you hunt, the buck that you killed this last year. But before we get into all that, why don't you tell us, where do you live and what do you do for a living?
I live around Charlestown, Indiana. It's really not far from Louisville, Kentucky. And I work in the injection molding with plastic, and I work in the machine shop. And we just do make a whole lot of plastic parts for the automotive companies, as far as Ford, Chevrolet, Honda,
nice.
Toyota. And we do a lot of work for like the healthcare and stuff like that, making the shells for the oxygen machines.
Cool, man. Cool. Yeah. I used to work for an aftermarket accessory automotive company out of Eastern Iowa, and they made like bug shields, and like window visors and rocker panels and stuff like that. And it was really cool to watch the plastic injection and the roto and the, blow molding process, man. I found that really interesting how that, you know, the melted plastic goes in and it comes out hard, man. I found that really interesting.
Yeah, we mostly do the injection molding where I work at.
Cool, man. Cool.
It's definitely neat to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. How long have you been doing that?
I've been there for almost 5.5 years.
Gotcha. Are you on like a first shift, second shift? Where do you work?
I actually just switched to first shift last week after being on second shift for 5 years.
Okay, well, that's probably a good thing, right?
So far, so good. It's taking some getting used to.
Yeah. So I know that second shift has its advantages for the guys who like to hunt in the mornings, right? And first shift, depending on what time first shift gets out, you might be able to make it to the timber for an evening hunt. Based just off hunting, what would you rather have, second shift or first shift?
Second shift.
Second shift? You like hunting mornings better?
Oh, yeah. I like hunting mornings. I've just been used to it for the past 5 years. I like evenings as well, but, if I'm going to get it done this year, I'm going to have to get it done before the time changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me ask you this. How many days of vacation do you get at your job?
I get 3 weeks. And if I don't, I don't know, I get 2 weeks. And if I don't miss any work at all, then I'm eligible for another week of vacation.
So it's like a system where if you don't call in sick or have a personal day or whatever, then you're eligible for an additional week of vacation.
Yes, but we also get two personal days a year as well.
Oh, nice. That's not bad, man.
So
how much of that time are you able to dedicate to hunting?
I usually take a couple of days off at the beginning of Indiana's archery season, which starts October 1st.
Yeah.
And I usually take a few days off then. And then I always take a week off the very first week in November.
Gotcha. When does the shotgun season or the gun season start in Indiana?
It's usually around the 16th of November.
Okay.
Around that time.
So let me ask you this. This is just for my own personal interest. Why take off time at the beginning of October when traditionally the hunting is better around November or late October?
I don't know. I just like getting out there. Me and my friends have a deer camp and stuff like that. And we usually take a couple of days off and go out and have a little deer camp and try to shoot a couple of does. Or I've never never shot a buck in early season. So
yeah, I gotcha.
Trying to knock it off my belly, you know.
That seems hard to do, man.
It really is. It really is.
All right. So this year you had some success, and we're going to talk about that, but I want you to lay down the groundwork. Let's talk a little bit about where you hunt, what the terrain looks like, public, private, just kind of lay out everything for us.
Well, the main private property that I hunt, it's only 10 acres that my aunt owns that she lets me hunt on. And then her two neighbors that live on the same road as her, they own 10 acres as well, and they let me hunt on it. So I have 30 acres to hunt and on my main private property that I hunt on.
Gotcha.
And
what's that layout?
It's my aunt's property. It's pretty much just a big pine thicket that runs through her property. And then the back part of her neighbor's property is like just bedding, real thick, nasty stuff. It got hit by a tornado a couple of years ago. And it's a really good mixture, really.
Awesome.
Of property to hunt.
Now, does that hold a lot of deer, or are deer coming from someplace else to that property?
It used to hold a lot of deer, but this past couple of years, it's just not really been the hunting property as it used to be.
Yeah.
It really didn't ever really hold the deer. They're more or less just passing through.
Gotcha.
On the property.
Gotcha. Okay. So is that 30 acres more or less, sounds like it's a transition between bedding and food. Is there food on this 30 acres that you hunt?
There's fruit trees, you know, acorns. We got a couple oaks on there. We got some persimmon trees throughout all the properties. And then right across the street from my aunt's property, there's usually either beans or corn, and there's ag all around there.
Yeah. Gotcha. So they have plenty to eat.
Yeah, they do.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So what about the other properties that you hunt?
I have another, private property to hunt. It's 24 acres, and it's mostly just wooded. I got the permission last year, so I really haven't dove into it really hardcore yet and figured it out. But that right there, it's surrounded by nothing but ag fields. It's just all around the property is nothing but bean or corn fields, depending on the year. And the property I have permission to hunt, it's just nothing but 24 acres of timber surrounded by that.
Oh boy. So I'm envisioning kind of like when the corn is surrounding it, it could be really good just from a hiding place for them.
Oh yeah. See, I really hope they put corn in it this year. I think it'll be really good.
Right. Right. So have you had any luck on that piece of property throughout the years?
I've only had permission, last year. And I do have permission as far as I know this year, but I did shoot a doe off of it this past year.
Gotcha. Any good sign in there that gets you excited for the upcoming season?
There's not really crazy sign. I mean, there's some rubs and scrapes throughout the property, but nothing's really got my heart pumping yet.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And then what about, public? You do any of that?
Yeah. The public land that I hunt, it's huge. It's just nothing but pretty much a big block of timber. I mean, it's huge. I think it's like 20,000 acres, I think, the piece that I hunt.
Gotcha. So is that, I mean, with it being that big, do you have, I mean, do you try to hunt all of it, or do you kind of break it down into individual sections? And I mean, do you do scouting, or are you kind of just, do you run in and guess when you go in?
Well, I mean, I just started hunting this public piece 2 years ago, and I've done a lot of scouting as far as like getting there and going squirrel hunting and stuff like that. And I did just go in there, put boots on the ground to see what kind of sign I could find. And there's definitely a lot of deer in there. It's just finding them when they're in that area.
Gotcha.
Because it's just such a big piece of property.
Gotcha. Do a lot of other people hunt it?
It's, you know, I've really only hunted it in the early season, and I did hunt a little bit in November this year, and I did not even where I was parking at, I did not see that many vehicles around the parking areas.
That's a good thing, man.
That's a very good thing. It's like I said, it's some rough terrain to walk.
Yeah, I believe it. So let me ask you this. You said that on that public ground, you've only really hunted it early season. Is that because you try to stay out of your private pieces until the rut?
It's just a mixture. If I can get out and go hunting, I get out and go hunting. I've been trying the past few years to leave my private alone just because it really hasn't been producing. And that's why I decided to try to hunt public for a little bit more of a challenge and to lay off my properties as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically you go to public if you just want to go in and hunt, and then I guess more of a calculated move into the private pieces.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So how do you approach your season? Like in the summertime, are you doing any scouting, or this time of year, are you doing any scouting, or do you kind of just shoot from the hip come the season and start running gun looking for fresh sign? How do you approach it?
Well, right now I've been shed hunting pretty a lot lately and getting ready for turkey season as well. You know, if I'm out in the woods, I'm always looking for deer sign. It doesn't matter what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I do a little bit of scouting, but once it starts getting, you know, close to season, I try to stay out of there as much as possible.
Right, right. So what about, while you're doing your scouting, are you running any trail cameras? Do you use any techniques like that to help get you an idea of what you're looking for?
I have a few trail cameras that I do use. The past couple of years, I just really haven't been using them as much. Just because they're kind of invasive, you know, getting in there, and they get you excited and makes you get in the woods and bump stuff out. But I don't know, I just really haven't been using trail cameras much the past few years.
Is there a reason for that? I never really got into them, or just not your thing?
Well, whenever I very first started using cameras, I mean, I was real into it, like getting out there and checking them, you know, every 3 or 4 weeks or so. Once I'd put them out there, I usually try to get them out whenever they start to grow their antlers.
Yeah.
And I just really haven't been using them the past few years. More or less just my timing, not having enough time to get out there and really mess with it.
Yeah, I hear that, man. I hear that. All right, so what's the deer density out there? Are there a lot of deer?
You have your pockets where there is quite a bit of deer. But the herd's definitely been declining in the past few years, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Somebody else might say different around here, but in my opinion, where I hunt at, the deer numbers are definitely declining.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. On my private properties that I hunt, there's just been a whole lot more pressure on the surrounding properties.
Yeah.
I would get my tree stand an hour before daylight, and I can see lights coming in from a couple different ways, you know, people coming in and hunting, which sometimes they do bump them to me, but it's just, I've just been seeing a decline.
Yeah, I hear that. All right, now, what about, the buck you shot this year looks like a really good buck, pretty decent. I'm guessing 3 or 4 years old, just from where I'm sitting, just based off the picture. What in your opinion is a good deer for that area?
I'd say a 130s for sure. 130s, 140s. That's a good deer.
Yeah.
Good, respectable deer around here.
Gotcha. 3.5-year-old, 4-year-old.
I'd say 3. Yeah. 3.5, 4-year-old.
Gotcha. And what's your goal going into every season?
As of right now, I'm pretty happy with the 130s.
Okay. Nice, nice. How many deer, just kind of curiosity, how long have you been bow hunting?
I've been bow hunting since I was about 16. I'm 27 now.
Okay, so about 11 years. In that 11 years, has that all been Southern Indiana bow hunting?
Yes, I've never went to any other state or went up north or anything like that.
Gotcha. Okay, so how many deer have you killed with your bow? How many good bucks? Like good bucks. Just trying to get an idea of where you're at.
I've only shot a couple of good bucks with my bow.
Gotcha.
I've shot a few pretty nice ones with a gun, but I transitioned to bow hunting, and I really haven't even shot a deer with a gun in a few years.
Yeah. Yeah. And I talk to a lot of people who are like that. They, you know, they take part in a gun season, and then all of a sudden guns just kind of fade out for them. And for a while they just go strictly bow hunting. And it sounds like that's kind of where you're at. I know that's where I'm at right now. I don't really have any interest in doing any type of shotgun hunting here in Iowa. I'm sure that as my family gets older, I will probably pick the gun up again just because it's kind of an easier weapon to harvest a deer with. And, I don't know. We'll see what happens, but is that kind of where you're at?
That's definitely where I'm at. It doesn't really interest me that much at all to really hunt with a gun that much anymore.
Gotcha. Okay.
Nothing like watching that arrow fly.
Yeah. That's the facts, man. All right. Now I want to talk to you a little bit about this buck that you harvested last year. And just so everybody gets an idea, they can, while you're telling the story, they can envision this deer coming through the timber. Why don't you just describe what this deer looks like, his antler characteristics, how old you think he was, and all that, and then we'll get into the rest of the story.
Okay. He's a mainframe 8-pointer, but he is a 9-pointer, but he's a mainframe 8-pointer. And he's got really, really, really nice brow tines.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably, I'd say, 9 to 10 inches long.
Yeah.
On each side. And he has good mass all the way through, decent beams on him. He was a pretty decent sized deer. He's probably, I'd say, 170 or so.
Okay.
Field dress.
Yeah. So he was 170 pounds, three year old.
I'd say three and a half, maybe four at the most.
Okay.
He was kind of tall. He didn't have that much. His body wasn't very big.
Yeah. Yeah. So what about, let's see here. What about the, score? Did you happen to score this deer out? I mean, it looks like he's got some good mass.
I've scored my own deer, you know, in the past, and I just kind of scored him, you know, by the picture, you know.
Yeah.
Wrote it down what I thought the measurements were. And, He grossed in the 140s, and after deductions, he was down at like 135.
Right. So somewhere around just gross, a low 140 9-pointer.
Yep.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. So let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned that this buck was shot on public ground, right? How far back were you from where you parked your truck to get to the tree stand location where you eventually shot this deer?
5.2 miles.
Wait a second. You hiked 5.2 miles from your truck to the tree stand location.
Yeah. I picked a spot on the map and walked to it.
And why did you pick that spot on that map?
I don't know. I just picked it. It was kind of like a big ball at the top of a ridge. And I got on top of the ridge to where I could see that, kind of look down the hill a little bit. And I just picked that spot and walked to it, and it worked.
Wow, that's crazy. You know, you're the second person that I've talked to on this podcast, right? Like, the furthest I've ever walked from my truck to a tree stand would probably be just under a mile. You know, if I said a mile, I'd probably be lying, right? And
yeah,
and that is on private ground. Right. And that was me taking the long way on purpose, trying to skirt down a creek around, you know, trying to backdoor a bedding area. Right. Yeah. I haven't done that in a long time. And now the furthest that I walk is, man, maybe 1,000 yards, and that's it, you know, maybe 1,000 yards. But what's crazy is that one of the last guys I talked to who hunted a big piece of private, he walked like 6 miles in, and that blows my mind because I'm trying to envision, like, and I'm looking at a map, right? You're parking on a road and there's no other roads closer to that point that gets you closer to that, right? You're walking, you're walking the path of least resistance to get to that point?
Yeah, I walk. There's a place where the public land that I hunt, where people walk their horses, and that's where I parked at, where they parked to walk their horses. So the walk wasn't very bad. It was just long.
Gotcha.
And once I got off the trail, it was pretty rough trying to find my spot in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah. So you found this on a map. Like, were you looking just at satellite imagery, or did you actually use like a topographic map as well?
Well, I used topo and I used the satellite view of it.
Gotcha.
And, I just picked the spot and went to it.
Right. Right. And what was attractive about that, right? I mean, at 5.2, I mean, you mentioned it was a kind of a bowl, but could you tell it was thicker in there? Could you tell there was some edge? Could you tell maybe like there was a pinch point or anything else other than it was a good bowl?
I don't know. I just picked it and walked to it. It was, I've scouted the area before.
Okay.
Squirrel hunting and stuff like that, you know, but, I just picked it and walked to it, and it came together for me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, and you walked there in the dark.
In the dark, bow in the hand, stand on the back, backpack strapped to the stand.
Okay, just for my own curiosity, what were you using? What kind of stand were you using to do your running gun?
It's an API Crusader. It's a climber.
Okay, climber. All right. And did you have any trouble that day, like finding a location, picking the spot? I mean, in the dark, how did you determine what was the right tree?
Well, I just got tired of walking, to tell you the truth.
I love it. I love it. So you just said, yeah, this is far enough, and got in a tree.
Yeah. And I was only 12 foot off the ground.
Okay. Okay.
I wasn't even high at all.
Right. Right. All right. So now it's pitch black. I mean, was the sun coming up, or was it still pitch black by the time you finished setting up?
It was still dark outside.
Gotcha. So from the time you've got finished setting up to the time that the sun started coming up, what was that time frame?
I'd say the sun started coming up probably around 7:20, I'd say.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And so how long were you sitting there? An hour before sunlight?
Yeah, maybe not an hour. I'd say about 30 minutes before sunlight.
Okay, cool. All right, so as the sun started coming up and you could start slowly seeing things throughout the timber, did the picture that you were seeing match what you envisioned going into that spot?
For the most part, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it was nice because I was on top of the I was right on top of the hill, and right behind me was real thick. And then right where I set my stand up at, it kind of opened up right there where it started to crest over the hill.
Right. Okay. So then, as the sun started coming up, I mean, did you guess right? Were you in a right tree? Did you feel comfortable about where you were at when? I mean, for shot placement, did you see any sign? Did you see any trails that, you know, like, hey man, I'm going to be able to
I've seen some trails whenever I was walking in on top of that, like right there coming up to the top of the hill.
Okay. Right. All right. So then as the sun comes up, you say, okay, I'm in a decent spot. And the sun's coming up. You're starting to see more. How long until you started seeing deer?
That's the only deer I've seen.
Man, I'm trying to like ask these questions to make you, you know, like, hey man, tell me this. And you're basically just like, you know what? I picked a spot on a map. I walked to it. I found a good spot. I shot a deer.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. So let me just go to this part. As you're sitting there, how long before this buck came through?
The sun came up at 7:20. I had him on the ground by 8:20.
8:20. All right. So you only sat an hour. Now, what happened when you first saw him? I mean, was this just one of those, hey man, he's coming right at me? Did you have to call or rattle at him at all?
No, I was just sitting there, you know, when the hill that I was facing, it was actually to my left, because I was hoping the deer was going to come to my left. You know, I'm right-handed.
Yeah.
To shoot to the left of me, and the hill that he came up, I mean, this hill was huge. Like, I couldn't believe he came up this hill, to tell you the truth. But he came up the hill and he was grunting. And he as soon as he crested the hill, he just stopped and stood there for a few minutes and just looked around, grunted a couple times. And I thought he was going to come around me. And the wind was blowing in my face. So where he came from, the wind was blowing to me. And he came up and there was this beech tree that was right in front of me. And so I had a bunch of his leaves on there. And he started walking right towards that beech tree. And as soon as he got behind that beech tree, I drew my bow. And as soon as he got from out behind those leaves, he pegged me. He just looked straight up at me. And I let the arrow fly and double lunged him.
So did he, what made him pin you up in the tree? I mean, I know you were somewhat low. I mean, 12 foot isn't extremely low, but it's not extremely high either. Was he higher than the base of your tree?
No, he was below me.
He was below you.
He was lower than me.
Okay.
So I was actually up higher.
Did he catch your access route scent, you think?
I think that that's exactly what happened, because where he walked, that's where I came in at.
Okay, I gotcha. All right, so he pinned you, and were you already drawn back at that time, or did you still have to draw?
I was already drawn back.
Okay, so you were ready for him.
And he was only 12 yards, 12, 15 yards.
And you just drilled him.
Oh, yeah. He took off running down the hill, did a little loop, ran down that steep hill. And I could just see, he stopped and I could see the top of his head, and then I just heard a crash.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And then I gave him about an hour. Yeah. So I got down.
All right. So let me ask you this. Is this the biggest buck you ever shot?
With a bow.
With a bow. Okay. So this is the biggest buck you ever shot with a bow. You're 5.2 miles back off a trail. What was going through your head after you let this arrow go and you watched him fall, or you heard him crash?
I was freaking out. I was freaking out. I called my girlfriend and told her what happened. And then I started texting my buddies that were hunting as well. And I was just really, really excited. I mean, I was shaking about to fall out of this tree.
Yeah. Yeah. And did it ever realize, or did you ever realize that, oh shit, now I have to find a way to get this deer 5.2 miles back to my truck?
Well, I didn't have to drag him that far back, because I have a buddy that has property close to where I walk to.
Okay.
But their family's kind of weird about letting me park there during the opening day of gun season, because they have a bunch of people that hunt the property.
Right.
So I called him, and he said I can drag it down to his place, which is, it was only about 2 mile walk.
Gotcha.
But that's still pretty far.
Yeah, 2 miles. So you drug this deer 2 whole miles.
I drug it to the edge of his property, and then once we got on his property, we went and got his ATV and went and got it.
Okay, gotcha. So how far of a drag was that from where he died to where you ended up loading him on the ATV?
Oh, I'd say probably a mile and a half, mile and three quarters.
Jeez. And but that's uphill.
The hard part wasn't even dragging him like back. It was getting him back up the hill, because it was a big bowl that I shot him in, and he ran down the hill.
That's right. Man,
so I had to drag him up the hill.
Right.
And every single time you would try to drag him, he would fall back down.
Oh, man.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
I kept telling myself, I'm never doing this again.
Yeah. But I tell you what, if you shot a buck like that every year, you would do it every year.
Oh, I'm going back this year.
Is this a spot that you think you're going to be able to produce, like you think it'll produce every year?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, the property, that public piece is just so big. It's just, I don't know how I got so lucky.
Yeah. So a little bit of terrain, a little bit of, hey, it looks good on a map, plus a little bit of luck. And that's how it all kind of came together, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, right place, right time, man. I'd take that any day.
I will too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So is this a deer that you're going to mount and put on the wall?
Yep. He's a taxidermist right now.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Awesome. So now you just killed a really beautiful deer on public ground, 5.2 miles in. What's your goal for this upcoming season, 2019?
I mean, if I see something like that again, I'm probably just going to shoot it.
Yeah.
I might try to put a little bit more time out there, a little bit more effort in trying to find something big. Cause I mean, I've heard of people killing deer out of that public land that are Boone and Crockett, you know, big old deer.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got a little bit more scouting to do, or are you just going to go in and do some run and gun type stuff?
I'm going to try to get out there and do a little bit of scouting.
Right.
Try to find some backup areas, you know,
right.
Plus me doing that this year, it's got my buddies ready to go now too. So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
They called me stupid for doing it.
For doing what? Going in that far?
Yeah.
But look what you came out with.
Yeah. Yeah. And they didn't kill a buck this year.
Hey, there you go. You rub it in their face, right?
Yeah. And whenever I got off work that Friday night, because the opener was on a Saturday, and I got off work at 11:30 and went home, got me some food, took a shower, and then headed straight to the woods. I didn't even sleep.
Man, I remember working third shift where I would do that as well. And I would leave work, go home, shower. I'd have to leave third shift a little bit early, right? So I could beat the sunrise out there. Go home, quick shower, get in the stand, hunt morning all the way through, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock after the sun goes down. This is in November. Go home, get 2, 3, 4 hours of sleep, and then go right back to work and try to do it all over again. And I tell you what, man, you do that enough times, you turn into a zombie.
Oh yeah, I was a zombie that day trying to drag that deer out.
I believe it, man. Well, I tell you what, man, congratulations on one hell of a deer, doing it the hard way on public, man. Kudos to you, and good luck this upcoming season, man.
All right, man. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
And there you have it. Huge shout out to Zach Hunt for taking time out of his day to hop on the podcast and chit chat with us about his public land buck. Huge shout out to all of you for taking time out of your day. If you like this podcast, man, spread the word. Get everybody listening to it, and that makes me happy. Go to iTunes or wherever you download the podcast. Leave a review. 5 stars would be great. Also, be sure to check out all the partners that support this podcast. Exodus. Oh, I'm looking at a list and I went blurry-eyed. Exodus, Ozonix, Wasp, Lone Wolf, Deer Lab, Prime, Ripcord, and Hunter Safety Systems. Please go out and support those companies because they support this podcast. Other than that, man, hopefully everybody has a good spring. It's about time to start chasing turkeys and doing some fishing and mushroom hunting, and summer's here, and the next thing you know, it's going to be fall, and we're going to be chasing these crazy deer again. So, if you're going to be in a tree doing anything, our friends at Hunter Safety Systems are reminding us to please wear your damn safety harness. Have a good week.
Thank you for listening to the Nine Finger Chronicles.